Tandy. Boy. Tandy presents a very interesting problem this season. Not because she's essentially a bad person, but she's so, how should I say, she's anxious. She's very foolhardy in a way. And she has a very hot head at times. And I think it's that where, you know, well-meaning could get her into a lot of trouble in situations where she might not have all the help that she needs, or she's not as strong as she thinks she should be. And we'll touch on that when she meets Mayhem in a second. But her back and forth, once again, with Tyrone, that's something that just, it works. I think it's been working. I'm just remarkable on it again, where they were talking about the darkness, holding back the anger, things like that, that really, really dealt with the character of Tyrone and of Tandy. Figuring out how to try to get him scared to be able to let her in. And then using that same power of hers that allowed her to sort of get in is the only way that she can use that power. I mean, that's the power she had to give up to be able to go deeper, which I thought was really, really cool. Now, big shout out to Lotus Scala up in the chat. What's up, man? Yo, I'm digging the show. Real quick, while you're here, let me know what your favorite part of this episode was and who you think was a standout actor or actress. Who got the MVP? I'm gonna tell you who I thought shined this episode for the MVP. But I want to talk a little bit about the dark place, or the darkness, or whatever, that, you know, the dimension, I guess, that that people are stuck in or lost in or transported to. We see Papa Legba down there. So we get some more voodoo, Loa, you know, kind of lore. And I love that Papa Legba showed up differently for Tandy than she did for, of course, Mayhem, or AKA Bridget, Bad Bridget, whatever you want to call it. And I like this through line of interweaving their powers, the supernatural. It's just something that I think is a real strong suit of this show that really, really comes through. Oh, the Dark Realm. Thank you. Dark Realm, you know, all that good stuff. It really provides an extra layer, extra dimension to the show that I think comes through in a very, very real way that matters a whole lot. On top of Papa Legba, letting her know that to be able to go deeper, to be able to see more, to be able to go further, you have to give something up. You know, because of course you have these situations when you're dealing with the supernatural, you're going to have to give something up. You can't just do whatever you want. You have to give to get. And her being able to look through and see her own life was something that was incredible. Immensely incredible, especially when we get to the record store. Her being able to play back the moments in her life, see those moments attached to music, attached to an audio response, attached to an audio memory, a time and place in her life. The way they shot it, the way they represented it, it's smart. This show is, you know what? All right, Freeform, I'm going to say this. Freeform is written off by a lot of people, by just a channel for like YA, teens. It's just some teeny bopper stuff. But between Grownish, between Bold Type, between Cloak and Dagger, there's some interesting filmmaking going on the sneak tip that I think a lot of people aren't recognizing because it's Freeform. Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. I think they're discounting it. They're not really giving it the proper eye or critical eye or critical reception because it's Freeform. Lotus Scholar says, you're going to lose some things along the path. And he says, I want to give my MVP to Ty's mom. You know what? Yes, matter of fact, we'll come back in a second, but we'll come back to that. But yes, my MVP goes to mom too. Definitely. As you can hear, Nerd Soul Light, the MVP goes to my dudes. Wow, she really crushed it. But back on In the Dark Realm, seeing those moments play back through the music, seeing Mayhem being lost there and not being able to get through because she's not a fully realized person, someone without her whole soul not being able to go forward, it's just something that really, really makes a difference. And I think it really matters in the context of their lives as characters and of the show. It really shines, man. It really, really does. And those moments with this show do so much with character that I think a lot of other things are not doing, whether it's a drama or, you know, whatever. They're doing a lot of stuff with Tandy and Tyrone that really connects us to them. Even with Bridget too, man. Old girl is acting her butt off. But moving on, seeing that, you know, Mayhem still looking for Fuchs, still trying to find him, seeing the room where all the cloaks are, knowing that someone who is here is scared and knowing that Tandy knows who it is, it's just something that we're like, yeah, we're finally getting there. We finally know what's up. We know he's there. You know, I know, you know, and all that good stuff. And seeing where she finally catches up to him and attempts to kill him while they're in the Dark Realm just shows how serious Mayhem is. You know, she means business and she's coming for your dome piece. Now, slide that to the side, because like you said, Lotus Scholar, my Duke's the MVP. I want to talk about this relationship when we get back to being on the run from the gang. The thing that I think this episode showed on the sneak tip that a lot of people didn't catch, didn't see, or didn't like remark upon on first glance is that this whole episode, Ty operated at a very high level without his powers. Very high level. Kept him and his mama safe without powers. Now, that being said, the subtle nuance in the facial expressions, the body language between herself and Ty, my dudes gets the MVP. Easy. My dudes MVP. Because when the police came, you know, her reaction to knowing that they were on the way, when they got there, when they were pulling her out, when she was outside, there's so much that, you know, it's just so much that could have been left on the table with the emotion, but she brought it. And I think that she really became the glue on the life and the character of your boy, of course, Ty, in this episode. And I got to give her the MVP for that. But before we move on, big shout out to the chat. We got Lotus Scholar, King J Dub. He's like, I'm in cheer. So what's up? What's up? Big shout out to Blurtish because this is done in NOLA. Blurtish isn't exactly in NOLA, but they're close enough. They're in Louisiana. Big shout out to Blurtish. Check out their podcast. Check out their website, Blurtish, BLERD-ISH. They're super dope. Some great brothers. Also, big shout out once again to Thought Crimes. They're super dope. And big shout out to Kuro Brand that holds down the show, keeps us, you know, fresh, fly, and classy. Check out Kuro Brand. That's K-U-R-O Brand. You know how to spell brand. If you don't know how to spell brand, then you got to do your homework. So, you know, we got my dudes out the way. We got your boy Ty out the way. We got Tandy out the way. We even messed with Mayhem. But Bridget is a character that ends up being broken in a very real way that seems honest in this show. You see her trying to fight because she's missing a part of herself. You know what I'm saying? And just like Mayhem is missing a part of herself, she's missing something. And she's able to still try to fight and trudge through and still make a difference. You know, you got people on the force. They ain't feeling her. They don't want her around. But she's still like, yo, I'm going to do what I got to do to try to make a difference, to be on this, you know, to be on this force, to be able to make a difference, not only on this force, but in this city, and work together with these two kids that are trying to do something for the hood. You know what I'm saying? There's these missing girls that she's kind of fell into this situation where it's like, whoa, all these girls are going missing. We've got to do something. You know what I'm saying? And I like the fact that we're in a space where even though she feels like she's missing something, like she's broken, like she's powerless, she still knows she has to do something. And on a larger scale with this episode, and I'll get to that in a little bit, the idea of we have to do something is something that continues to, you know, work through these episodes, and something that I really, really love. Lotus Scholar said, that convo about Evita and Tandy, I love. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. I almost forgot that. Ma Dukes, when he brought up Tandy, she was like, is that that little blonde girl? And he was like, nah, that's Tandy. She's someone else or whatever. And she was like, I don't like her. She was like, my badge came up missing. And he was like, oh, nah. You know, she's like, no, boy. I know. All right. Mama knows. I know where my badge was, and I know where she was, and I know my badge was missing. All right. And matter of fact, let's be for real. You know how badges are. She could have had some security pull badge wipes and be like, I was at home when this happened. See what I'm saying? Nerd soul know what you're talking about. My badge was missing. How it gets swiped at the job. So look, you know old girl lying. So I ain't trying to hear that. I ain't trying to go there. oh man, Lo is funny. Lo says she's missing her mayhem mojo. True that. King J Dub says something tells me that Connor is backing back with powers. Judgment for Tandy breaking the rules. I definitely see something going on with Connors. It's going to be otherworldly. I think him being in the dark realm for so long is going to change him on a fundamental level. And I think we have yet to see how bad it's going to be. Because I was conversing with a young lady on Twitter. I cannot remember her name. I'll see if I can pull it up now. But she was talking about, how should I say? She was talking about mayhem and the essence of being kind of like the big bad this season. And I was saying, you know what? I'm not sure if Mayhem is the big bad this season. I think she's a red herring, and we're going to get someone else or something else. And Connor's now being back, not being able to rectify or reconcile his situation, I think we're going to end up with someone who is a big bad in his own right and ends up taking over, of course, you know, your girl Mayhem. She gonna be out of here. It's gonna be Connors all day. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be a Connors world. Now, big shout out to the story of the Loa, the story of the transatlantic slave trade, the vampires, just continuing to add more layers to this show, more wonderful access to history in this show, and providing a deeper message in the show, which I really, really love. And it just really comes through, and it makes a difference. So I love the show for doing it. I really do. The show comes through, and the show is great in that regard of being able to just dive deeper. Because she could have just sat down and talked about, you know, the girls, or they didn't even have to have the story about the vampires, but they provided context and that duality between the missing girls now and then the missing girls or missing or forgotten girls then, which is great. So let's see if I can bring up, I can't find the young lady who I was talking to, but she was really talking about, like, you know, the darkness, learning to embrace the darkness, and who the big bad was going to be. And I'm thinking Connors is going to come for that spot. He coming for that top spot. Yeah, King J Dub says Mayhem seems to be an anti-hero. And yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen. I think we're gonna find a way to get them to merge back together as one character. And I think that'll be great too. The last thing that I think I'll regard on or remark upon is that this show, in the very beginning, in like the first 10 minutes, showed how messed up our justice system is and showed the cog in the wheel structure of being able to bring justice or help people. You have these girls that have easily, obviously been taken out of this situation. You got the guys there that have been holding them against their will. They're sex slaves or human trafficking. Easy to tell that. Slam dunk, right? Slam dunk for you, slam dunk for me. And then somehow they're being prosecuted and jailed because they were slaves? It's like, what? So these girls were kidnapped, enslaved, and now they still got to go to jail. And it's like, I like them putting that on Front Street, you know, forcing us to talk about it, forcing us to deal with it, forcing us to see it. Because I think as a society, sometimes we forget in the rigmarole, regular people are getting chewed up in the system. Regular people that don't have a representation, regular people that don't have someone to fight for them. And I think having these heroes fighting for these girls, girls just like the girls overseas that have gone missing every single day, girls here that go missing every single day, children that have crossed the border and have gone missing and we have not found them, them girls in D.C. that have gone, girls in Chicago that have gone missing, tons of girls everywhere, and no one seems to be fighting for them. And at least in this show as a fiction, we can have someone truly fighting for them. And I love that this show is doing that. It is, wow, it's amazing to see it. It's a shame that it takes a show on Freeform to do that when you think about Freeform as a channel, but I am so glad we're getting it. And maybe Cloak and Dagger is a perfect show to do it due to the ages of our protagonists. Yeah, I'll leave it there. I think I'll leave it there, and I'll get some of you guys MVPs. Big shout to King J Dub. Who is your MVP for this episode? You know, Lotus Scholar and I, we're looking at Mod Dukes. We think Mod Dukes brought it home. But let us know who you think the MVP of this episode was. I got one more thing to jump on, but then I will, you know, come back to this real quick. King J Dub said, pimps need to get more jail time. They get off way too easy. And Lotus Scholar said, that place is an N.O. Word. Last thing I want to talk about is the cops. And this idea that one good cop is able to, you know how they say, I can just go in there and I can make a change and I can fix everything. And you see Bridget, you know, she talks on the phone. She's like, okay, cool, I'll bring the cops. And she's like, everything's going to be cool. And, you know, she comes out and you see the cops all weapons trained and weapons drawn. They got like the whole SWAT team out there. So you see what she's dealing with and what she has to compete with and what she has to compare with and how much it's affecting her in a very, very real way. And how, in turn, that's affecting the citizens of that city in a very real way. So yeah, just props to the writing on this episode. Dig it. The way they use the records, the way they use the mother son time, the way they dealt with the justice system being in that, just in processing, in this process of just taking regular everyday people and throwing them through this meat grinder of a precinct. Dealing with, I can make a difference because I'm one good cop. And it's like, but you ain't, one good cop is not going to change the mentality of policing. And I think that's something that we haven't realized. You know, you can have 2, 3, 4, 5, 18 good cops, but the mentality of policing is something that they're not going to be able to break. I don't think anytime soon. But guys, with that said, thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for checking this out. Of course, hit that thumbs up. Now you can hit that thumbs down. If you hit that thumbs down, I'm gonna send Connors after you. I'm just saying, I'm gonna send Connors after you. So you can check me out at That Nerd Soul. That's T-H-A-T NERDSOUL. If this is your first time watching, feel free to subscribe to a brother. If you don't subscribe, look, you know, hey, look, I'm going to see you, all right, in the dark realm. That's all I'm saying. I'm all up on you. Now, all the people that hit me up on social, feel free to holler at me anytime. We can talk Wu-Tang. We can talk Cloak and Dagger. We can talk X-Men. Or we can talk Avengers Endgame, because I'll be seeing that very soon. So, guys, until next time, thank you for hollering at me. Thank you for rolling through to the chat. King J Dub, big shout out to you. Of course, Lode the Scarlet, thank you for coming through. Folks that normally come through, I don't know if they're in there or not, but Alan Lewis, big shout out to you. Little Miss Chocolate, big shout out to you. And of course, my newest Patreon supporter, Tim I, nice to see you. Thanks for rolling through and supporting your boy, Nerd Soul. If you want to be like your boy, Tim, feel free to go on over to Patreon. All right, put a dollar in the bucket. All right, just $1. All right. Well, actually, we prefer the kind that folds. But I'm just saying, feel free to put a dollar in the bucket. But until next time, next week, all right, we're going to be breaking down that Cloak and Dagger. Now, real quick before I bounce, if you're interested in Star Trek Discovery, I'm going to be doing a live stream tonight of Star Trek Discovery, the season finale. Yo, Star Trek has been flamed since the first episode. But I'm just saying, I'll be back tonight, 9 PST. Check me out. So, till next time, I see you. We're just saying thank you for watching. And next week, keep your eyes open, because we don't know what Connor's going to do. So, until the next time in Inno, peace.